morning I want to teach a lesson on justified. And that is a question. Justified. Are we justified? You know, so many things that we do in our lives, we should have the right to do them. Or in other words, we should be doing the right things. We take a job, and the boss tells us what he wants us to do. And if we do those things, we are found right in his sight. He gives us a paycheck, we keep a job, and so on and so forth. But I have 6 questions I want to ask us this morning. And this all pertains to godliness. And those 6 questions are, and I just picked 6 of them because these are questions that are prevalent in society today and also even in the church. So my question is, are we justified by attending any old church we want to? Are we justified in saying or doing what we want to? Are we justified by wearing what we want to? Are we justified by worshiping God the way we want to? Are we justified by aborting our unborn children? Are we justified in missing services? Think about these questions as we go through this lesson. When we are justified, we are declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Let me reread that. When we are justified, we are declared or made righteous in the sight of God. So as we live our lives, the things that we do, are we justified in the sight of God for doing those things, or maybe not doing those things? We can be justified for not doing things as well, because the Lord tells us there's certain things that we shouldn't be doing. And there's justification in that. Turn with me, if you would, into the Old Testament to Galatians chapter 6. And this is where we're going to be taking the majority of our lesson from today. We're going to be talking about Noah and the ark, the flood, and this type of a thing. A lot of reading involved, so bear with me if my voice starts going crazy on me. But in Genesis chapter 6, I want to start out, first of all, reading the first 7 verses. And it says there, "Now it came about, when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those who were mighty men, who were of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of his thoughts and his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things, to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them." Were the people back in the first 1,000-plus years of creation justified in what they were doing? In reading these passages, I would say that all but 8 weren't. They were not justified. Do you see what the Lord was saying here? He says the Lord was sorry that he had made man because their hearts were thinking of evil continually. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. What were men doing that grieved the Lord so much to cause him to want to destroy mankind? You ever thought about that? I mean, mankind, thousands of people, what were they doing that was so wrong that God wanted to wipe out what he had created? You ever thought about your own children? You bore children, brought them into this world, and you ever, maybe I should be careful about that. Hey, you ever thought about, have they ever been so bad that you just want to get rid of them? On the serious side of things, though, God was so distraught because man's heart was only evil continually. Let's continue to read in Genesis chapter 6. I want to read verses 8 through 13. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, what that is saying, the Lord was pleased with Noah. The Lord found favor, or Noah was found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records, the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. That's pretty interesting to see that. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Okay, with these few passages, I want us to note a few things. First of all, the Lord was sorry, or it repented the Lord, as it says in other versions, that he had created man. God felt it necessary that there was a change take place. The Lord didn't need to repent of anything because he didn't do anything wrong. But when we repent of something, there's a change that takes place. And the Lord felt that there was a change that needed to take place. And that change was, he was going to take care of the sin that was in the world. There was only a certain few people. And at this point, it only mentions that Noah was righteous in the sight of God because he walked with God. He feared God. I want to look at verse 5. And there it says, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. So what was man doing? In a nutshell, it was called sin. They were sinning. Let's drop down and look at verse 11, where it said that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. And in verse 12, it says, for all flesh had corrupted their way. Now, I'd like to take just a few brief moments and look at some words that we see listed here. Now, I got these, my words that I have are out of the New American Standard. I'm not sure if they're all the same in the King James or the New King James, some of the other translations. But the word corrupt that we see here listed in verse 11 and in verse 12, we can see and think about what corrupt means. Well, in the Hebrew language back at that time, this is out of the Strong's concordance that I looked these words up. It's number 7843, Sakath. Not that that means anything, but that's what it is. That's the Greek or the Hebrew word for it, for the word corrupt. And it means to, as written, I wrote it down out of it, to decay, ruin, batter, cast off, corrupt, destroy, mar, perish, spill, spoiler, utterly, and waste. Keep in mind the question that I was asking. What were men doing that was so evil that God wanted to destroy them, or that God did destroy them? They were corrupt. They were violent. Violence is number 2555, Shamak. And I'm probably pronouncing those Hebrew words incorrectly, but it was unjust gain, damage, false, injustice, oppressor, unrighteous, against, wrong. And that's what these words in the Hebrew are saying that these people were. And I felt it kind of, or found it kind of interesting that in verse, gotta find it again. Verse 13, where it said that the end of all flesh has come before me. No, that's not the part. No, verse 12. It was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And so I looked up the word flesh in this particular instance, and out of this passage, and that's from 1320, and it's called Basar, B-A-S-A-R. And that word means flesh, from its freshness, body, person. Body, flesh, mankind, nakedness, self, skin. And as we go back and read some of what we have read already, and you know, from Genesis chapter 1, corruptness, violence, fleshliness, worldly things were taking place, and this is what angered the Lord so much that he wanted to destroy mankind. Man's thoughts and actions were evil continually. Turn with me over to the New Testament, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us in verse 21 and 2, it says, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And that's what Paul told the Thessalonians back at that time. So in all the earth, why was Noah pleasing to God? Why was it Noah that was pleasing to God? Well, tell you what, we're going to do some more reading back in Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to take off there, and I'm going to recap verse 8. And it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, dropping down to 13 where it says, and we'll read through 22. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you And you shall enter the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your son's wife with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind and the animals after their kind, every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. For you take for yourselves some of all food which is edible, to gather it to yourselves, and it shall be food for you and for them. And look closely at verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. Why was Noah pleasing to God? Why did God find Noah to be a righteous man? The fact of the matter is, Noah was pleasing to God because he did what God commanded. Isn't that what the Lord wants us to do as well? In John chapter 14, in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Did Noah love the Lord? Apparently he did, because he kept his commandments. And he tells us the same thing over in John chapter 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. And I do believe that Noah was God's friend. He walked with him. Let's turn back to Genesis now and continue on with chapter 7. You know, this is a passages that we have read since we were little kids and have been taught about Noah and the ark, but there's so much, I believe, that we can pull out of this when we stop to think about it. Then the Lord said, Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you every unclean animal by sevens, a male and his female. Of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also of the birds of the sky, by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of the earth. For after seven more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days, 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land everything that I have made. You know, he continuously saying, the breath of life is gone. It is going away. But it hasn't happened yet. Time has passed by. And with that time, it says, Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood was upon came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean and birds and everything that creeps on the earth, they went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God commanded Noah. It came about after 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth, the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of that month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. Can you imagine the sight of that? Think about that. And the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, the very same day Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wives and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds, and they all went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh in which was the breath of life. This was all the breath of life that was left over. That was it, because they were obedient to God. Those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him, closed the door behind them. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increasingly great upon the earth. And the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher and the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds, cattle, beasts, and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind. Of all that was the dry land, all in those nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to the birds of the sky. They were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Wow, when you stop to think about that. The years that it took to build the ark, the blood, the sweat, and tears that were involved in doing it, the planning of it, structural integrity. Can you imagine the engineering mastermind behind that? I'm sure God had his hand in it. Preparing the provisions for both man, and animals, all the things that they had to do, and all this being 500 to 600 years old, Noah was. And Noah did what God commanded. In all this, Noah's faith was in God. And all the hard work that went into planning the ark, and all the hard work in building it, and all the hard work in gathering the animals of all sorts that went into it and getting them there. Can you imagine the fear of flooding that was maybe on the minds of his family? And maybe even once the waters rose and the boat started going, what about the animals? The Noah had a great job of keeping things under control. They had never seen anything like this before. Now think about what they were going through. Everything that he had done to get to this point. And not only that, during the time of building the ark and those type of things, Noah and his family, I'm sure, was ridiculed by the people that were on the ground. And then we saw chapter 7, verses 10 through 12, that the waters of the flood came upon the earth. The ground opened up. It flooded up, it flooded down, it flooded, as they say, all around. Then when it was all said and done, when it was all over with, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat in Turkey. Now, I don't know where exactly that is. I just know after asking Michelle where it was, she said it's in Turkey, kind of off to the one far end. And those mountains, as I looked up according to just what Google told me, was anywhere from about 12,000 to 16,000 feet. You know, when you start getting up, or was it 12? Yeah, 12,000 to 16,000. When you start getting up into those kind of elevations, oxygen is pretty thin. Matter of fact, as a pilot, if you go above 12,500 feet for more than 30 minutes, you need to have oxygen so that you don't lose your faculties about yourself and start making bad decisions. I don't know what elevation that exactly was at that time, but this I do know. It was another possible thing that they had to overcome, but the Lord was with them. So when you stop to think about all that Noah went through and his family, and yet in all of this, he stood righteous before God. I would like to jump down now to chapter 8 and verse 15. And it says there, Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds, animals, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons, and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by their family from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled his soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And God blessed Noah in verse 1 of chapter 9 and his sons, and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." God's covenant, God made a covenant with man, with Noah, never to destroy the earth again by flooding. He set in the sky a rainbow for us even to view today as a promise that he would never do that again. And that rainbow remains today. But the other thing that we have today is God's Word. We have God's Word with us all the time. Over in John chapter 12, starting in verse 44, it says there, "And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me does not believe in but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I will judge. I do not judge him, nor do I come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has the one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at that last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know his commandments is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father told me." And just as the Lord told Noah what to do, he did it. And his life and his family's life was spared. So I ask each one of us, is our life justified in what we are doing? In how we live our lives? I go back to these very first six questions I asked. Not just for us, but for us to consider how the world is around about us. Are we justified by attending any old church that we want to? The Lord gives us strict instructions on how to worship him, that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are we justified by saying or doing whatever we want to do? The Lord says that we are going to be judged by every word that comes out of our mouths. We better be careful what we say. Are we justified by wearing what we want to? Are we justified by worshiping God the way that we want to? I think that there's certain patterns that the Lord has established for us in how we live our lives, in how we worship him. Are we justified by, this is a big one. Are we justified by aborting our unborn children? So many people think we are. They've renamed the word murder to abortion. Are we justified in doing that? Are we justified in missing services? A lot of times that happens. I hear that in the denominational world. You know, they're not going to church today because they got rag-rag to go along. I heard that even in the congregation that we left in Rapid City. Yeah. People of the church give up worshiping God because they want to do what they want to do. Out of all the people on the earth, Noah and his family were spared. Faithful people will stand out. Faithful Christians will always stand out. Are we not the salt of the earth? Are we not the light of the earth? That a light that's set on a hill cannot be hid? Do we not stand out separate from the world? The question that I have for each one of us is this. Do you stand out or do you fit in? This lesson is for you today, for me today, for each one of us. First, consider how Noah lived his life. If you need to make your life right in any way, or if you need the prayers of the church, let it be known as together we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.